Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2022 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there'll be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the first quarter of 2022. As usual, we will start on page four with the highlights of the quarter. We can say here that we had revenues of $1.76 billion. That is a little bit over 1% over last quarter. Our net income was 52% higher than last quarter, reaching $329 million. Our EBITDA was 2% lower than last quarter, reaching $630 million. We had a very good last 12 months EBITDA of $2.7 billion. That is a 10% quarter-over-quarter and a record for the company. That helped us reduce our net debt to EBITDA to 1.71. Last quarter was 1.83. The other highlight is that we filed our 20-F for the year 2021 recently. We go to page five. We have the same numbers, but with the numbers of the fourth quarter of 2021 there. You can see similar sales, much higher net income, a similar EBITDA, and a small increase in net debt, but a lower leverage because of the increase in last 12 months EBITDA. We go to page six, and we go a little bit into the detail of the revenues. We can see that we had a decrease in the pulp revenues of about 1.4%. That was driven basically by a 10% decrease in sales volume that was offset by a 8.7% increase in prices. In wood products, we had an increase of 3%, $30 million. That was mainly due to a 9.3% increase in average prices, partially offset by a 6% decrease in sales volume. In terms of the proportion of sales, we can see that wood products reach 58% of total sales of the company. In terms of cost of sales, we had an increase of 3.1%. That is $30 million. The main explanation for this is higher chemical costs and maintenance costs. We had also, as you can see there, higher unitary cost of production. That is basically explained by a lower production for the quarter than we're gonna see later on. That explained basically lower dilution of fixed costs. Also we had a higher cost of chemicals and energy because of the higher prices of those products. In terms of there you can see the cost of $1 billion compared to $973 million. In terms of the explanation for the 13% in unbleached softwood pulp increase, it's basically because we had a 16-day annual stoppage at the Constitución mill in Chile in January. That was replaced the production of unbleached fiber in line two of Arauco. Another explanation for the lower volume, of course, is the apart from the annual stoppages of Constitución and Monte del Plata, is that we don't have the line one producing. As you remember, we stopped line one of the first days of January this year. Going to page seven, we had a decrease in administrative expenses of 7.5%. Now we have $141 million. The main decrease is explained by salaries and severance indemnities of 3.6, donation, contribution, and scholarship also, and all the administrative expenses. In terms of distribution costs, we had a higher distribution cost of 19%, and this is explained basically by higher freight costs due to logistical issues that are affecting basically the whole world. We reached $234 million of distribution costs. In page eight, you can see that other income was $82 million positive compared to a negative of $27 million in fourth quarter of 2021. So this 110 increase is basically explained that in the fourth quarter of 2021, we had a negative adjustment to the our biological assets of about $80 million because of adjustment in the parameters. And that was not done this quarter. We had a normal increase in the forest, so that's why it explains basically the change in that. And another explanation is that we had a $20 million gain on sale of assets. The last part of the forestry sales that we signed in August last year was completed during the quarter, and that we reflected a $20 million gain in this line of the income statement. In terms of other expenses,
pardon me, it appears that the line may have cut out. I will be reconnecting the line now. Pardon me, the line has been reconnected.
$28 million in other expenses compared to $70 million. And this is basic claim, but we had a decreasing provision of property, plant, and equipment. And this is related to the line one shutdown again. So last quarter, we were continued doing deterioration of assets, and we're not doing that anymore. And also, we had a reduction in the loss of forest. We had a $6.1 million decrease in that line because of lower impairment of forest. Now going to page nine, we can see the summary of the income statement. We have explained most of the lines, but talking to other lines, we can see that we had a higher financial income, 22%. That is explained basically by higher interest rates that we are seeing, especially in Argentina. Financial cost was very similar. $47 million compared to $49 million. In the line of exchange rate differences, we had a $19 million loss compared to $2.4 million loss. That is explained by changes in the exchange rate and affecting especially the balance in Chile and Argentina. Of course, we had a higher income tax because we had a higher income before income tax. And that, at the end of the day, we had a $330 million net income, which is 52% higher than that quarter. In page 10, we have seen the evolution of the adjusted EBITDA. And you can see there that the margin was 36%, basically very similar to last quarter. Remember that in the third quarter of 2021, we had the effect of the sales of the forestry assets that affected more or less $230 million. So that was not a very normal quarter. In terms of the breakdown by division, it was very, very similar, the pulp and wood products EBITDA. Also remember that all the forestry operation now is consolidated under the pulp segment. So that's why we are putting there also the EBITDA coming from the forestry operation. In terms of the contribution to the variation of EBITDA, we had a $27 million lower pulp EBITDA and a $11 million higher wood products EBITDA and some increasing consolidation adjustments. That explains the more or less similar EBITDA from one quarter to the other.
Now moving to the review by business segment, starting from pulp, we can see in page 12 the evolution of the pulp indexes. If you see the line reflecting the China prices, we can see that we had an increase in pulp prices starting from the end of 2021. And now we are seeing prices close to $1,000 in softwood and close to $800 in hardwood. The spread that we are seeing now is about $180 between these five. In terms of shipments, comparing the first 2 months of the year, we can see there that we had a 1.4% total reduction in shipments, but we can see that we had a 9.5% decrease in the shipments to China, compensated by shipments to other Asian countries. In terms of producer stocks, we had an increase in stocks in January, and then we had a decrease in global BCP producer stocks in up to February. We can see that we have 45 days in softwood and 40 days in hardwood. Page 13, we can talk a little bit about our operations. You can see there the reduction in the pulp EBITDA of 7.6%, which of course is much higher than a year ago, which we had when we had $210 million of EBITDA. You can see there the decrease in volume of 10%, basically explained by lower production and of 10%, but a higher price of 8.7%. You can see there the production sale volumes. This quarter we sold 884,000 tons and we produced 783,000 tons. We had a decrease in stocks of about 100,000 tons from one quarter to the other, especially in hardwood coming from Montes del Plata. That explains about 30,000 tons of reduction.
Pardon me, it appears that the lines have been disconnected. I will reconnect them now. Just give me 1 minute. Please hold as I do reconnect the line. Please give us 1 minute. Thank you. Pardon me, we're being reconnected with the main speaker line. You may now go ahead.
Okay. Sorry for the inconvenience. We had a disconnection of the telephone line. I hope that everyone is listening correctly now. I'm going to start over slide 13. You can see there our EBITDA for the first quarter of 2022, $325 million for the pulp division. That is a 7.6% lower than the $352 million obtained in the last quarter of 2021. Of course, much higher than the first quarter of 2021, which was only $210 million. The main explanation is a decrease in volume of 10% in sales volume, and an increasing price of 8.7% quarter over quarter. You can see there that we sold 884,000 tons and we produced 783,000 tons, meaning that we had a decrease in stock of 100,000 tons, basically in hardwood and especially in Montes del Plata. The reasons for the decrease in production I already explained, but we had two maintenance of mills in this quarter, the Montes del Plata, which is a very big mill, and also Constitución, and some other minor production stoppage problems that we had in one of our mills in Chile produced a lower production. In terms of the market, we saw a very good market during this quarter, prices continually increasing, especially because of logistic issues. We saw demand stable in China. Initially, we had some fears about the decrease in activity prior to the Lunar New Year, but that didn't occur. But however, the usual increase that we have post-Lunar New Year also didn't take place. Basically, the China has been affected by the lockdowns that the government is imposing because of COVID. In terms of in Europe, the pulp market remained very good, a level during the quarter. High economic activity, low level of imports of paper from Asia, and also the prolonged strike at a major pulp and paper producer that was ongoing during the quarter. In terms of the evolution of prices, we can see there that at the end of the quarter, in March, we had prices of $700 for hardwood and almost $900 for softwood. So quite a big increase from the prices that we had at the beginning of the quarter at the end of December. If we now talk about the outlook for the second quarter, we can say that this is correspond normally to the start of a low season, but we are seeing very good demand, and you can see that in the graph that prices continue to go up, especially during April, that we had an increase of $100 in each of the fibers. You can see there that the price of pulp went from 700 to 805 for hardwood and from 890 to 990 in softwood. Also, we had a huge increase in dissolving pulp from 960 to $1,160 per ton. And in May, we were able to increase a little bit more the prices, and we went a little bit over $1,000 for softwood and $835 per ton in hardwood. Of course, the thing that's happening here basically is that in Asia, especially in China, the supply is not being able to meet demand because of logistical issues, and that is making that prices go up. In terms of Europe, the demand is healthy and continued by the lack of paper imports from Asia. China has reduced export to Europe, maybe because of logistical costs. And additionally, we had also the effect of the strike at this major pulp and paper producer in Europe that started producing now, but it's going to take some time in order to refill the stocks and start affecting markets. In terms of the stoppage, we already talked about the stoppage of 16 days in Constitución and 14 days in Montes de Plata that is already done. And during this quarter, we are ending the stoppage in Nueva Aldea and starting during the quarter, the stoppage in Valdivia. In the third quarter, we're gonna have line two and the Esperanza mill in Argentina. And finally, in the fourth quarter, we have planned for a 14-day stoppage at Lilicancel mill, which is a small mill in Chile.
Now moving to slide 15, I'm talking a little bit about wood products, we can see that we have a quite stable EBITDA in very high levels, and now reaching $331 million compared to $320 million for the fourth quarter. You can see the explanation now divided by panels and solid wood. In panels, we had an increase in price of 4% with a decrease in volume of 7%. And in solid wood, an increase of 4% in price and a decrease in 5.1% in volume. This is a continuous good market for panels and solid wood, especially in the US, Canada, Mexico. We also can comment that plywood sales volume increased by 2% and prices by 0.8%. So continuously with a good market and for wood products in general and especially in North America. In terms of slide 16, in terms of production and sales, you can see there that we have, in terms of panels, sales of 1.4 million cubic meters with a production of 1.5 million cubic meters. Some timber, 550,000 cubic meters of sales, and in plywood, 152,000 cubic meters of sales. Very similar to the last quarters in terms of volume. Now looking at the outlook for wood products and concentrating initially in North America, where we have approximately 60% of our sales. This is Canada, US, and Mexico. We have seen very, very good markets for particle board and MDF, and we are very positive for the next few months at least. In Mexico, even though we're seeing some decrease in activity, the market continues to be at very good levels in terms of history. If we manufacture wood products, the market should continue to be strong over the next few months, at least until the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. We have solid demand in housing and repairing and remodeling, plus limited supply due to logistic issues. You can see there in the graph below, the housing start index now reaching about 1.8 million houses per year, very solid increase for the last years. In plywood, we expect the market to continue to be strong, good demand, and also the geopolitical situation between Russia and Ukraine is affecting plywood producers, are one of our main competitors. Now moving to page 18. In the Central and South America, which represents about 30% of the market for wood products, we are seeing some slower demand in Brazil compared to last year, more supply coming on NDF, and we should see some more export to other countries, which may help decrease the pressure in the local market, but could affect other markets like Mexico or US, depending on where they're able to export. Anyway, we expect a reasonably good first half of 2022, yet the second half is more uncertain at this moment. For Argentina, the market continues to be strong with positive results. We expect that to continue throughout the year. In Chile, the construction activity has been lower during 2022. Not a major reduction in sales, and prices have remained stable. This is basically explained by higher interest rates and more political uncertainty in Chile. Now moving to Asia, and Oceania will represent 10%. We have slightly more competition in Asia. In some products, nothing could affect our competitive position, and some decrease in lumber sales to China due to COVID restrictions. We expect also a good first half, and we have some doubts about the second half, but we think the first half is more or less sure. And the rest of the market, which represents 3%, which is basically Europe and the Middle East, continue good demand and strong in Europe, and in Middle East, good demand for plywood. Page 19, now talking about the free cash flow. You can see there that we had a positive free cash flow of $73 million compared to a negative free cash flow of $133 million. Starting from very similar EBITDA, we had a worse capital variation reduction compared to last quarter. We had some more tax payments, but we had other effects that were not present this quarter. For example, last quarter we paid dividends, $471 million, that made a huge decrease in the free cash flow of the last quarter. We had the fourth quarter, of course, the $320 million, which most of them are receipts from the forestry sales. And we had some small receipts of $32 million of the same thing in the first quarter. So you can see that we had a reduction in effect of the free cash flow, but that was more than compensated by an increase because of inflation and variation of FX and accrued interest rate. That made the net debt go to $4.686 billion. Page 20, we have a similar cash balance of about $1 billion. We have also the same committed credit facility of $375 billion, which is due in February 2021. So our total liquidity stand up more than $1.4 billion. Page 21, net financial debt. You can see there that our net financial debt is more stable, a little bit of increase, but our net leverage has decreased for 1.71. And the main explanation for that is the very good last 12 month EBITDA of $12.73 billion that is helping reduce that leverage position. You can see there the gross debt of $5.7 billion and the cash of $1 billion that we have at the end of the first quarter. Page 22, the amortization schedule of our debt. We had $378 million to pay this year. From those, we have about $230 million in bank loans. And the main thing is bank loans coming from, especially from amortization of Montes de Plata and other small amortizations in other countries. In terms of bonds, we have only $60 million in local bonds obligations and some other $49 million in U.S. denominated bond, which are basically payment of interest. You can see that 2023 we have very low amortizations, $200 million, and now the first big amortizations comes in 2024 with the amortization of a $500 million bond that is due that year. Now moving to page 23 and material facts and news, starting from MAPA update. You can see there that we are in the project, in the end of construction and erection jobs. In parallel, we are commissioning some of the processes in several areas. We are doing flushing and water runs and steam blow some of the machines. At the moment, we have operations in the water intake and water treatment plant, the external biomass system reception and storage, the wood yard with log reception in partial reception. We have the power boiler in operation with biomass. The recovery boiler is in operation with diesel at this point. We have the demineralized water plant ready, the air compressor, steel ponds, the electrical grid and substation is operational, and all the effluent process is ready. We are expecting at this point that the first bale will be produced probably late Q3. And the final capex of the project, we estimate it to be about $2.85 billion. You can see in the page 25 some of the photograph of the final packaging line, the water treatment process, and the water cooling system. Of course, you know that the delays in this project are basically due to COVID restrictions and lately some delays in construction companies. One of the construction companies is more delayed than the other three, especially in the final line, when that is why it's delaying the production of the first phase. Now, page 26, going to the other events. We finalized the forestry fire season. We had less events, 11% less fire events, but nevertheless, they were of greater intensity and we had a higher surface affected. We reached about 5,000 hectares of forest affected by fire compared to 520 last season. Just to mention, last season was exceptionally good. Normally, we had fires of about 5,000 hectares, and season of 21 was very low. We made more than 26,000 airdrops of water with more than 4,000 flight hours. And also, just to mention, about a third of the fires we fight and we fought during the season were in properties that belong to third parties. We filed the 20F on April 20th with the Securities and Exchange Commission. This is part of our regulatory requirements that we do because of the previous issues in the U.S. You can find it there and the SEC, and we have a comprehensive view of the company and detailed discussion of the financial results of 2021. And finally, we are working on our waste revaluation goal. We are moving towards a circular economy, and our pulp division is working towards increasing the percentage of revaluation of industrial non-hazard waste. We have a goal of achieving 100% by 2030, and we achieved 56% of reduction in Chile and 30% in Argentina. Examples of these are basically using the ashes coming from the recovery boiler and the power boiler, and also the mud coming from the processing and other products that increase the value and help us reduce the usage of disposal. So finally, page 27, the takeaways. We have a very good quarter with strong financial results amid the market volatility and the current geopolitical environment, and also the generalized logistic complexities. And we achieved the lowest leverage ratio on record, being the seventh consecutive quarter with a significant leverage reduction. Our next conference call is planned to be more or less mid-August 2022 for the second quarter results. So now with that, I would like to open for any questions that you might have. Thanks.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. When asking a question, please pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question will come from Guilherme Rosito with Bank of America. You may now go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. So I have two questions. The first one is, how are you seeing pulp demand in China, and what's your feedback from our clients from the lockdowns? And is this last $30 hike for hardwood the last one in the cycle? And the second question is, how are you looking at supply-demand balance for dissolving pulp, and could you consider an expansion post the MAP investment cycle in dissolving pulp? Thanks.
Sorry, could you please repeat the question? I had some trouble, especially the second one, to understand.
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me well?
More or less, but you had the first question was regarding lockdowns in China, I think, and the second one was something about dissolving pulp, but I really didn't hear very well.
It appears that he has disconnected, so we will go to the next question. Our next question will come from Thiago Lofiego with Bradesco BBI. You may now go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Gianfranco, can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay. I have two questions. The first one about the Chinese pulp market. So basically, what's the kind of visibility you have in the near term in the Chinese market? Are there any signs that the situation is improving at all on the demand side? Also, inventories, are they accumulating at the Chinese ports, or do you think, you know, producers are diverting volumes to Europe? And then finally, within this whole context, do you see a risk of pulp prices falling during the summer months this year? And then my second question is about the dissolving wood pulp market. Can you comment on Valdivia production outlook for this year and for next year? And also, how do you see Brazil impacting the market? Thank you.
Okay. Well, regarding the Chinese pulp market, as I mentioned, and probably most of you guys know, there's some uncertainty because of the lockdowns and the demand of paper, because some of the big cities in China are in lockdown because of COVID. And we have the help of lower supply coming because of logistical issues, and that is helping the inventories go down in China. We think that as the summer comes in China, probably the government is going to start easing a little bit the lockdowns, and that will help to increase demand. They are showing some signs of trying to help the economy, lowering interest rates and things like that. So I think that we should have some help from demand coming in as the summer approaches. And I don't see a very good solution of the logistical issues in the short term. So I think I would say that the supply will continue to be constrained. So in that sense, I'm a little bit optimistic about the next few months in terms of stability. I don't expect probably prices to continue to go up because they are quite high right now. And so I would say that I think that the situation in terms of demand will be a little bit better as people start coming out of their houses and apartments in China as the summer helps contain the virus. But I mean, this is very volatile at this moment. In terms of of risk of pulp markets falling. I mean, that usually everyone is expecting to this thing to fall down at some point, but we think that that could come at some point of the second half, probably, depending on the flow of supply coming to the market. We don't see the solution right now in logistics being resolved, so we don't see a huge volume coming to China and other markets. And so in that sense, I don't see a big fall in the coming future, but of course, something things could change as logistics resolves a little bit and volumes start coming back to the market. In terms of production of dissolving pulp, we are having a good production in a good quality in Valdivia. Valdivia has a production capacity of about 500,000 tons, and we expect to be producing most of the time dissolving pulp, especially for because of this gap in prices. I mean, with prices at $1,100 compared to hardwood, which is $800, it makes more sense to produce dissolving pulp, even though we have higher cost of production because of more uses of chemicals. In terms of Brazil, I don't think that they are producing dissolving at this point. They are stacking up. I don't know when they're going to reach the market with that production. So we don't expect some new capacity coming down.
Gianfranco, if I may, so on this Brazil point, so if you don't expect them to produce dissolving wood pulp, you should be expecting them to produce paper grade pulp, right? So do you think they will exert pressure on the paper grade pulp market then?
Well, of course, as they increase their volume, it will put more pressure. But at this point, I mean, the volume is already there and we haven't seen any big impact in prices. Most of the time, the ramp up of the mill doesn't have the impact that you expect at the beginning, because it gets diluted because of the ramp up process, and especially now because of logistics and the decrease in the inventory that we are seeing in the market. So I don't expect a big impact of Brazil, and also you understand that our project is also delayed, so our volume, it's not going to be significant this year. We expect that probably it's going to be 250,000 tons, something of production this year. So sales will be less than that coming from MAPA. So I think that that will also help a little bit the market.
Fair enough. Thank you, Gianfranco.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question will come from Hernan Kilsluck with MetLife. You may now go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Gianfranco, for the call and for taking my question. Congratulations on the good results. So my question is on the wood product business. So prices remain very strong there, way above the historical average that we've seen pre-COVID. So my question is, how should we think about the long-term prices here? So I'm not sure if we have to treat wood panels and particle boards and MDF, etc., as a commodity, as we're used to see in the case of pulp, with prices going up and down depending on the cycle. But we haven't seen cycles in this kind of product. So how should we think about this business going forward?
Okay, of course, I mean, wood products are not commodities. I mean, we have in wood products, we have a lot of products. I mean, we're talking MDF, particle board, remanufactured wood products, plywood, and we have different qualities, and especially they're going to local markets. So definitely it's not a commodity. The thing is that I think the pattern of demand and the valuation of these wood products changed dramatically because of COVID. People start staying at their houses, they spend less in going out to dinner, I mean, traveling, and they focus on remodeling their houses, and the demand for wood products increased a lot. Of course, there was some restrictions of supply also at this point, and prices structurally went up. I think that prices don't move too much as other commodity markets, and we cannot expect big movements in price like we are seeing in pulp for wood products. So if they have more
tendency to remain at the same level. So you shouldn't treat them as commodities. We expect that this the demand and appreciation for the wood products will continue, but we cannot predict the future. But I think that structurally, prices should be higher than in the past. I mean, of course, you know that inflation is going around the world, but also the demand for this kind of products is higher because more construction, as you see in the U.S., more people thinking about remodeling their houses, the more usage of wood as a better construction material, more sustainable in terms of energy. And so I think that the long-term trend is doing a job there, and also the short-term trend of demand for wood products helps the prices go up, and we expect that they should continue in good levels. Probably going to decrease a little bit once the demand decreases a little bit, but we don't expect to reach the similar prices that we had before COVID.
And do these high prices, if they extend for a long period of time, incentivize new supply? Is it easy to bring new supply in this kind of product?
Well, of course, supply new supply decreases prices, but we are not seeing a lot of new projects coming in, and it takes some time. We're building a new MDF mill in Mexico, and it's going to take about 2 to 3 years to complete it. And also the fiber availability is also a restriction. So you need to have the forest. It's not very easy to just construct new supply. And also, at this point, which is circumstantial, is the logistic issues that are putting more pressure in supply, especially in the U.S., where we have a lack of imports from Asia. Also, the war is not helping because of the restriction of imports from Russia. So we are in a very good time because of good demand and also some logistic disruptions.
Okay, got it. And a very short second question, if I may. So I think that you hold 12% of your cash position in Argentinian pesos. Is there a way for you guys to reduce this amount, hedge, or maybe take it out from the country?
Yes, Argentina. Yeah, we had some loss of Yeah, so, sorry, just to be sure, you're talking about the loss of exchange rate in Argentina?
No, the exposure that you have in Argentinian pesos. It seems that you have 12% of your cash position in that currency.
Okay. Yes, I mean, you know, there's not a lot of things you can do in Argentina. There's a restriction of distributing dividends, of imports. It's very, very strict, the availability of dollars in Argentina, and also we are having a very good market, so we're generating a lot of cash there. So currently we have about $130-140 million at the official exchange rate in pesos there. We are trying to do our best in terms of anticipating purchases of spare parts, capex, everything that is dollar denominated, but we cannot distribute dividends at this point. So it's difficult, but we're trying to do the best, but it's also under all the legal requirements in Argentina.
Okay. Thank you very much, Santiago.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Beldis Araudis with HSBC. You may now go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and congratulations on your financials. My question is regarding if you can give us some guidance, some more color about your EBITDA and CapEx outlook. Thank you.
Well, we cannot give you outlook for EBITDA. We don't give projections. Well, you can assume that we're going to have a good year because we have had a few good quarters, and we expect that to continue. But in terms of CapEx, we are expecting about $1.4 billion for this year. And basically, about 40% of that is related to MAPA, and the other is related to other projects, and maintenance capex, which is about $700 million of that. So that is more or less the guidance, $1.4 billion. And next year should be much lower because we won't be spending money on MAPA.
Okay, thank you. And the whole capex is $1.4 billion plus the maintenance capex, or $1.4 billion is
no
total capex?
In total. Total okay. Capex $1.4 billion. That is included the maintenance capex.
Great, thank you.
Our next question will come from Isabella Zastoncelos with Bradesco BBI. You may now go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gianfranco. I have a follow-up question on wood panels. I think you mentioned a little bit about pricing dynamics, but I just wanted to get more color, if possible, on pricing dynamics, particularly for wood panels in Brazil. You mentioned the demand has been softer. And then price realization has been healthy, right? So I just wanted to get a better picture of how should we think about pricing going ahead, stability, or if there's room for further price hikes, and also for wood panels in North America. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes. As I told, the panel market is very good, especially in North America. The weak part is Brazil. And if we talk about the different products, I think that MDF is stronger than particle board. So MDF in the United States, Canada, is very good response. We are having record results in the U.S. And so that we expect to continue. In Brazil, as I told, the situation is different. We are seeing a little bit weaker environment than last quarter and last year. If we compare the panel markets this quarter compared to the same quarter last year, we are better in all the markets apart from Brazil. Brazil is suffering more in terms of demand because they have higher supply. And also, interest rates have gone up very quickly, as you know, to try to fight inflation there. Interest rates are kind of 11 or 12% right now. So that is affecting a little bit the demand. So I would say that MDF is very good. We're going to try to continue raising prices a little bit to fight a little bit the increases in cost. As you can see, all the cost of chemicals is higher. So we're trying to compensate that. In Brazil, it's going to be very difficult. I think that we're going to try to raise prices, but that will be trying to maximize our gross profit, and so that will come in terms of managing our volume also and production. In Brazil, of course, as I mentioned, exports is a way out to alleviate the pressure in the local demand. Exchange rate is more or less good. It's five times. But it depends on logistics and availability of freight. The cost of containers in Brazil is very high, and that is putting problems in to export. We have a very good logistic network, so I think we have in a very good condition to export. The other competitors in Brazil have more problems because they don't have the commercial structure in the U.S. to sell. So I think we're better positioned to export more of our volume from Brazil rather than our competitors.
That's clear. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Guilherme Rosito with Bank of America. You may now go ahead.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Great. My line is connected. I'm sorry about that. So let me just repeat my questions, and I apologize if they've already been answered. So my first question is, what's your feedback on pulp demand from your clients in China? And was this $30 hike on hardwood the last on the cycle? And my second question on dissolving pulp, how are you looking at supply-demand balance? And could you consider an expansion in DP post-MAPA? Thank you.
See, if I understood well, you're talking about the reception for clients of the $30 increase in prices in China?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, good reception because they took all the volume. So we were able to sell everything with increasing prices. It was not a huge increase in prices, but the demand was there. As I mentioned, some of the Chinese customers are worried about the delay in shipment, so they are taking more stock in order to be prepared, and that's why it's helping push prices up. In terms of the dissolving pulp demand, we see a good market. I mean, the prices have gone up, and of course there's a lot of swing capacity. So depending on the margins, some of the paper grade moves to dissolving and the other way around. So it tends to balance, and I think that now the gap between dissolving and hardwood is more healthy. It was more close during the last quarter, but now I think it's a good spread to continue producing dissolving pulp. The demand is there. We're seeing very good comments on the quality of our product, and very happy about the evolution of margins.
Understood. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Yusuke Kawayana with Delphi Capital Management. You may now go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have one question in the wood segment, especially in the U.S. So the number of U.S. housing construction started to decline year on year. Will this affect the sales in the wood segment in the U.S. in the future? And can you tell us about the color of the sensitivity, for example, like 5% decline in U.S. housing construction means X percent of decline in segment products in the U.S. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I mean, the trend of housing construction continues to go up. I mean, it has some ups and down every month, but the trend is good. Of course, could be affected by the increase in the affordability of houses in terms of the interest rates and the disposal of income. But in terms of construction, I mean, our products are not, the panel products are not affected by construction because they come later in the stage. I mean, you construct a house and then you put the furniture, and also they have some the effect of remodeling and of houses, which is independent of new construction. So I think it's not going to be more stable for panels. In terms of the wood products, the sawn timber, some of the moldings are more direct affected by construction. But we see a very strong market in construction. We have had record sales and record margins for moldings. Prices are historical levels, and the demand for especially the big boxes, Home Depot, Lowe's is very strong. So I think that we're going to continue to have a very good market for our products.
Okay, thank you. So as a follow-up, as we saw the earnings of the Home Depot or the other retailers in the U.S., they are suffered from the margin compression because of the inflation. So do you have some discussion with those kind of retailers in terms of the price increase and also the amount of number of product sales in those retailers? So can you tell us about the discussion with those retailers, especially after they are facing kind of inflation pressure?
No, not really. I mean, our products are in very high demand, so we are able to pass prices to retailers, to distributors, and we hadn't had any calls or pressure from them to decrease prices. I mean, the demand is there. If they don't accept our prices, probably they're going to have lower products on their shelves and lower demand for the rest of the products that they sell together with our wood and panels. So not really. I mean, the demand for us is very strong at this point.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call. Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. Our next question will come from Marcio Reed with Goldman Sachs. You may now go ahead.
Thank you. Morning, Gianfranco. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of follow-ups. The first one on the MAPA project. Our understanding is that the expectation was for the startup to happen in June. And all sounds like you're talking about the first bale to be produced by late third quarter, right? So just trying to understand what this delay means. I mean, was, I mean, driver, how confident you are that you can deliver by the third quarter. And the second question on dissolving wood pulp, just trying to understand better these market dynamics. I mean, what are you doing in terms of your commercial strategy? Are you securing long-term contracts? Is it going mostly or only to China? How should we think about your dissolving pulp exposure in that sense? Thank you.
Okay. In fact, yes, we announced that we're going to start the testing of the equipment in June. As you know, this is normally a long process of you receive the construction from the construction, the project team, and the operation team has to start testing the equipment, and that is what we are doing. As you can see in the presentation, we are testing some of the equipment, the boilers we are producing. The problem that we have is that the delay in construction of the final line of production, that is one of the construction companies that is more delayed, and that is pushing the first bale of production of the final product at the end of the third quarter. But we are testing the other equipment that are already done, and the other construction companies are going to probably end their task in June or July. So we are going to be ready for most of the parts of the mill, but the critical part, which is the final line, is being constructed by this construction company that is more delayed. So we are putting more resources, doing a lot of control from the project team to the construction company in order to accelerate that. But we think that it's more conservative to say that the first bale will be out of the mill probably at the end of the last month of the quarter. And the volume really produced, we're going to be probably 60,000 to 50,000 tons, no more than that. In terms of dissolving pulp export, most of our customers are in China. We have big customers in India also, and we are developing other markets. We develop long-term relations. I mean, we don't have fixed contracts in terms of price, but we commit volumes with these customers, and we have had very good reception of quality of our product. And we think that we have very, very good relation with those customers in as I mentioned, in China and India. And we are very positive on the demand. We try to secure long-term relations as we do in our pulp markets.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Gianfranco.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, first of all, sorry for the inconvenience. We have some cutting on the telephone line here. But anyway, I hope that everyone received the information. And if you have any other doubts, of course, you have our investor relations team here in Chile to resolve any other questions. And we hope to hear back from you and to in the next conference call in mid-August for the second quarter results. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.